Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs of all ones. I'm your host Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Frank Easterbrook, CEO of the Juice It Up Franchise Opportunity. And Juice It Up is a franchise smoothie and juice bar chain with more than 90 locations. The company anticipates opening between 6 to 10 new locations by the end of 2012, and that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-3000. 877-877-877-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Frank Easterbrook, CEO of the Juice It Up Franchise Opportunity. And first launched in 1995, Juice It Up is a franchise smoothie and juice bar chain with more than 90 locations. The company anticipates opening between 6 to 10 new locations by the end of 2012. So, again, looking forward to having these guys on the show today. Don and I have been talking about this one for a while. Here was an interesting article. As you know, we do a lot of research before the show. It's Willie Smith of Juice It Up. It says, when Willie Smith returned home from Afghanistan in December of 2009, he knew the deployment had been the highlight of his career in the United States Marine Corps. He knew it was the right time to leave the military and find new ways to serve his country. Smith moved to Temecula in October of 2010 and decided to follow his lifelong dream of owning his own business. Later that month, he took over a local smoothie joint, which was called Juice It Up. We were having it on the show today. I'd never even tasted Juice It Up before I came to California, but it was the best smoothie I've ever had. So when the opportunity to own one became available, I took advantage of the situation, Smith said. Smith had been looking for a franchise to buy because the structures and systems in place for franchisees reminded him of the structure that helped the Marine Corps operate so smoothly. When Smith learned that Juice It Up encourages franchisees to be involved in their communities, he knew that he found his match. Obesity is a huge issue in our country, so Juice It Up is truly a business that I'm proud to be part of, he said. The smoothies are great, and they make it possible for me to continue to serve my community and help work toward a healthier America. As weekdays, Juice It Up employees arrive at the store early in the morning to make popular flavors, to store in freezers, and bring to schools to sell to students as they leave for the day. At some schools, we'll average 200 smoothies in an afternoon. Could you imagine, Smith said? With every smoothie sold, Juice It Up gives a dollar back to the schools, which is about 33% of all the sales made. Since opening, Juice It Up of Temecula has donated over $25,000 to the public school system. If any smoothies are left over after the students are gone, they donate leftovers to the teachers. It's been awesome, he said. This really is my dream of owning a business has come true. That's a fantastic story, you know, when you hear things like that. We've been talking so much about, you know, over the last 4 years about the relationship between military and going into franchise. And it doesn't suggest that, you know, everyone who has served in the military would make better franchisees or franchising is perfect for them. But we have seen those correlations or those relationships. It was interesting. Juice It Up was voted, I think we were saying this last week, as a top 20 most popular franchise for veterans. Who else was on the list? And again, a lot of these franchises have appeared on Franchise Interviews, so you can go to franchiseinterviews.com and listen to probably about half of them. I have Macco Tools, the UPS store, Sports Clips, Dunkin' Donuts, Cruise One, Meineke Care Centers, Wynn Home Inspection, AirServe Heating and Air Conditioning, Mr. Handyman, Snap-on Tools, Postmat, Maid Brigade, Mr. Appliance, Molly Maid, Mr. Electric, Mr. Plumbing, Mr. Reuter, TSS Photography, Home Helpers, Rainbow International, Service Master Clean, Express Employment Professionals, Juice It Up, who we're having on the show today, Coffee Beanery, and Cam Dry Carpet Cleaning were voted as top 25, I guess they call them the most popular franchises with veterans. So we'll have to talk to Frank about that today. So again, looking forward to today's show. Next week, we have a full lineup booked for August and already going into September, preparing for October. And in November, we have our 250th show, five-year anniversary. It really is quite amazing. So next week, we have August 11th, Penn Station East Coast Subs. We're meeting with Craig Dunaway, who is the president of Penn Station. And a little information, it's a great name, isn't it, Penn Station? Fast casual East Coast-style sub sandwich chain that has about 225 restaurants in 12 states. Projections call for 25 restaurants in 2011, with 325 total restaurants open by the end of 2013. They serve hot and cold subs, fresh, hand-cut, made-to-order French fries, hand-squeezed lemonade, and more. Consistently ranked as one of the top franchise opportunities by U.S. By Entrepreneur Magazine, ranked number one restaurant franchise company by Success Magazine in its October 2000 annual ranking of the 200 American franchises, ranked as one of the top 40 movers and shakers by Fast Casual in 2007, 2008, and 2009. Recognized nationally as one of the top restaurant chains in customer satisfaction by Sandelman & Associates in the 2009 Quick Track Research Program. So again, that sounds like an interesting show if you're interested in going into food, or even if you're not interested in going to food, it might be an opportunity that you could be interested in. So check that show out. Following week, August 18th, Fresh to Order, we're meeting with Pierre Panos. That's a cool name. Founder and CEO. And Fresh to Order, I think they abbreviate themselves as F2O, is an innovative franchise restaurant concept that focuses on quality American cuisine, gourmet fresh ingredients, and fresh service to offer incredible food served in less than 10 minutes for around $10. The company currently has 6 locations, and projections call for signing at least 5 multi-unit franchisees in 2011 with total commitments of 15 to 20 restaurants. That's fantastic. August 25th, we're shifting gears a bit, which is good for me and Don because, again, those food shows certainly make us hungry. Great Play, interesting concept from Stamford, Connecticut, or they first opened in Stamford, Connecticut in 2006 by fitness buffs Giles and Keith Comhai. The franchise gym concept for kids offers fun-filled, motor-skilled, sports-skilled, and physical education classes for children ages 6 months through fifth grade, as well as birthday parties. There are currently 7 locations with 4 gyms opening soon. About 20 locations are expected by 2012. You can see the growth that they anticipated with a lot of these franchise opportunities that are coming on the show. This Great Play is redefining the youth physical development category with an innovative new collection of programs delivered in a patent-pending interactive arena that makes developing skills fun and easy for children. And we've packed it all into a step-by-step blueprint to help franchisees turn their passion for youth fitness into a thriving business. The Business Press is calling Great Play an innovative concept in a fast-growing industry. The fitness industry is calling Great Play? Okay, well, we just said that. Anyway, that sounds like another great concept that's going to be on the show, and that's going to be at the end of the month. Then we shift gears again, entering into September, and we're meeting with a franchise that I've been familiar with for a long time. Actually, I should really thank these guys because they were one of our first interviews in our newsletter for franchise interviews. This is going way back before we were even a radio show. And I did a feasibility analysis on Right at Home, which is a senior care, non-medical senior care franchise opportunity. A little information here. Right at Home, a privately held provider of in-home elder care and assistance, was founded in 1995 by a gentleman named Alan Hagar, a hospital administrator who was concerned about patients needed additional assistance after their discharge from the hospital. He sought to assist their return to good health by becoming a certified nursing assistant and then launching Right at Home. Right at Home is a very long history. You know, it was interesting when I started studying this particular category. I was back in, it was back in 2002. I started a post-MBA program at Fairleigh Dickinson University, and one of the projects was we had to come up with a feasibility analysis. And, of course, because my interest has always been franchising, I said, you know what, I'm going to pick out a franchise. And this was the one I selected, and to find out that Right at Home was certainly feasible
in the area that I was focusing on. I always said if I ever got into franchising, this would be one that I would definitely consider getting into. Just a very fantastic opportunity. Today, there are so many non-medical senior care franchises, so you certainly have to do your homework. Our last show, we met with Michael Stone and Tayoka Jackson, and they are part of the Professional Franchise Athlete Initiative, and they discussed their most recent summit. If you missed the show, PAFI seeks to educate professional athletes about franchising and to take control of their assets by setting themselves up with their own businesses after they face early retirement from professional sports. This was a great show. I mean, it's always great to talk to professional football players and celebrities. Tayoka was big out here in Pennsylvania. He played for Penn State. You know, what I got from that particular show, and we got a lot of emails on that particular show, most athletes have a very short career. I didn't realize that. It's much shorter than I thought. I think Michael was saying like anywhere between like 2 to 5 years. And what's interesting is that there's a relationship between athletes and entrepreneurship. And I never even thought about that because, you know, Michael was saying he started his training back in Little League, you know, following plays and athletes really know how to execute. The goal of this particular organization is to really educate athletes on franchising. You know, as we said last week, we played a clip from the gentleman, the CEO from Edible Arrangements, Tariq Fareed, I believe his name is. And, you know, he was saying that franchising isn't for everyone. You know, you have to really be, the franchisor even has to be selective. So we're going to play a clip right now from Jim Cohen. You know, a lot of times over the last 5 years, Don and I get the question, probably one of the most frequent questions, is what franchise is the best? And, of course, that's a very difficult question to answer, and it really depends on the individual. But Jim Cohen, I thought, gave...
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews.
This is a clip
from another edition of
Great
Quotes
in
Franchising. Each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being sponsored by the guys at Diamond Financial Services. And if you're looking to finance your franchise, just simply click the sponsorship button below of Diamond Financial, and you'll get some great information. Today's podcast comes from Jim Cohen, who is the founder of Franchise Perfection. Jim had a great quote. He had actually a bunch of great quotes when we had him on the show. He's been involved in franchising almost 25 years now. He said most people know what they like, but they don't necessarily know what would be the best franchise opportunity for them. In other words, we've referenced this on the show before, you know, there's many people that like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I'm a big fan of Dunkin' Donuts, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'd make a great franchisee. You know, and the same thing applies to Subway or McDonald's or whatever that may be. So listen to what Jim had to say. I thought he gave some great advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise.
Fits in with your particular situation and what your desires are.
Interesting.
Then you have kind of a recipe for success.
Right. Do you find a lot of people really don't know what they want, Jim, or like they think they have an idea, like they may say to you, they approach you and say, you know, I want to buy a Dunkin' Donuts, and the only reason they want to buy a Dunkin' Donuts is because they like the coffee or the donuts, but do you get a lot of that where people really don't know what match they'd be appropriate for?
Yeah, no, great point. I mean, most people know what they like.
Right.
But they don't necessarily know what would be a good business. And they say to you, know, I hear all kinds of things. I mean, one of the things I hear all the time is, I don't care, I just want to make some money.
Right.
You hear that, and then you hear other things is, you know, I really want to do something special. I want to help people.
Right.
Or I want to use my expertise or my skills and get involved in a business that's going to make me feel great about myself. So everybody has different sort of goals and aspirations or visions of how they see themselves in a business opportunity.
Right.
And what I try to do is identify the key elements of what's important to them and the key elements of their particular situation, and then match them up with something that makes sense, or at least has some of the key elements, and then they can investigate those opportunities it's a process. It's not an event.
Right, absolutely. You probably have a lot of people who say to you, I've never even thought of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Interesting. And, you know, I never thought of that again. And, you know, and then I start thinking about it, and then all these questions start happening. And the reality is that sometimes it takes a process of investigating a number of opportunities before you identify the opportunity that makes the most amount of sense for you. And one of the things I've learned over the years is the people who do investigate thoroughly are the ones that have the most control of their destiny, because they have the most amount of information and have answered the most amount of questions. So due diligence is a very important part of being successful as a franchisee.
Yeah, I would agree. We've stressed that a lot on previous shows. Yeah, it's a good point, Jen.
Yeah, so and some people don't know the questions to ask, but they learn as they go through the process, and that's what I try to do is coach them and find the questions, because ultimately what matters is them getting involved in a business opportunity or a franchise opportunity that they feel really good about and that fits their particular set of circumstances. And financial is a very big one. You know, I want for people to really have enough capital to be able to fund that business and enough backup capital to be able to support their family.
Interesting. Right. Well, you know, Jim, that's what I do. So
right.
A lot of our loans are startups, and we're pre-qualifying people. People need to know where they stand, if they can get financing, always having that cash reserve money, working capital. Maybe a spouse is keeping and having some outside income coming in. So, you know, that's my everyday life, going over that scenario with people.
Right. And that's an important aspect. And I know you guys were talking about the UFOC earlier. It's it's not necessarily one of the items in the UFOC is what kind of backup money do you have to support your family, or how are you going to support your family. It really talks about the business opportunity.
Right.
Not necessarily about the support of the family. And I've seen a lot of people get in trouble early because they don't have that backup. So I pretty much go through that process with them and make sure. I get a lot of calls of resales from franchise people who are in the business and you know, are interested in possibly reselling the franchise. And the most common problem is that they run into they run out of working capital.
Right.
And that's something that you just got to really consider, and I can't stress enough about how important that is. And I know, Don, you and I have talked about that's a critical important thing when coming up with that business plan to finance a business,
right,
to make sure that there's enough to support that family over 6, 8, 12, 18 months it might take to
Before profitability, yeah.
Right,
that's a good point. Yeah,
exactly. So,
what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur, Jim, looking to buy a franchise? You've kind of mentioned a few things so far. I mean, what would you feel about the biggest main point is?
You know yourself. One of the things that you know, I've learned is the willingness to work hard is obviously a must-have in order to succeed as a franchisee. Unfortunately, hard work is only part of the picture. Not everybody is suitable to even be a franchisee.
Right.
To me, franchisees represent the middle ground between employees and entrepreneurs. I call them franchrepreneurs.
I've never heard that before. That's interesting.
Yeah. So the vast majority of people, you know, most successful as an employee. True entrepreneurs are few and far between. Those are the ones that are willing, they have a vision, and they're willing to take all-out risk.
Right.
And they don't really want to hear anybody else's opinion in most cases. They really see this.
You can actually hear that whole interview by going to franchiseinterviews.com. That interview was with Jim Cohen, or you can just do a Google search. Type in Jim Cohen franchise interviews, and the interview will come right up. So why don't we do this? I see our guest, Frank Easterbrook of Juice It Up Franchise Opportunities, called in. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Hey, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Frank Easterbrook, the CEO of the Juice It Up Franchise Opportunity. And Juice It Up was first launched in 1995 and is a franchise smoothie and juice bar chain with more than 90 locations. And the company anticipates opening between 6 to 10 new locations by the end of 2012. Hey, Frank, how you doing today? Hey, Frank. I don't think Frank is there yet. I think we might even have a caller on the line. We might have a question. Is there a caller on the line? Okay, not yet. Well, hopefully Frank is going to be calling in any second. So why don't we do this? We have a couple of interesting – let me try this again. Hey, Frank, how you doing today? Not there. So, all right. Well, hopefully Frank is going to call back in. So a little more information on Juice It Up. As earlier, if you missed the first part of the show, we were talking about Willie Smith, how he returned home from Afghanistan. And this particular franchise opportunity was voted in the top 25 franchises for veterans, and that came from Franchising World. So we have another clip that we will – let's – why don't we do this? We'll play another clip from our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. This is called the Three-Legged Stool of Franchising. And once again, we get the question, you know, what's the best franchise or what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? So listen to this one. This, again, it comes from
the
Great Quotes Franchising podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. Reese podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now for almost 2 years, and in that time frame, we've had some fantastic quotes on the topic of franchising. Today, you're going to get to hear from Gary Okigrasso of the Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill franchise concept. And Gary answers the question, what is the best franchise? a common question that Don, myself, and Gary have received over the last decade, and I thought Gary's response was fantastic. He also talks about the three-legged stool of a successful franchise. His answer was brilliant. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear interviews with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And here we go with Gary Okagrasso of the Desert Moon Franchise Concept.
Running the business as long as I have the passion and the work ethic, really.
And, you know, that's a great point. I do several seminars a year on the topic of franchising, and I'll tell you, I don't think that there isn't a meeting that goes by that someone in the audience doesn't raise their hand and ask me what I think, quote, the best franchise is.
I get that all the time, you know, myself, Gary, being in financing, people always asking me.
Same here.
Yeah, and, you know, first of all, ultimately that's a money question, and I'm one of those folks who believe if you chase money, you won't get any. You know, my response over the years has always been the same. It's not about, quote, the best franchise. It's about, really, what is the best franchise for you? What's
right.
your passion? What do you love to do? What are you good at? Because, again, you know, quoting Michael Gerber, once you get past that infancy stage where you are the technician, or as we say in our business, the chief cook and bottle wash, you then need to expand your business by getting started on the work of an entrepreneur and bringing the technicians and the managers in to work with you on your business. So to simply ask what's the best franchise is to simply say what's the best automobile. I guess the issue is what's the criterion? What are you looking for? What are you good at? What's your background? And most importantly, what are you passionate about? If you're not passionate about building a business, then chances are you'll get exactly what you may be passionate or not passionate about. And in the case of a lack of passion, that would be nothing.
When people ask that to me, Gary, I say there's thousands of franchises. How the heck do I know?
There you go.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a very, for experienced franchisees, and I think you alluded earlier in the top of the show regarding some of the work that my friend Dan Rowe at FranSmart is doing. You know, there are experienced franchisees, certainly the type that Desert Moon is seeking, who have background in the food industry, who understand the business model of franchising, have an organization, and they take a system like Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill, and they plug it into their already existing system. And that's one type of franchisee. And then you have another type of franchisee who was the first-time business owner, the entrepreneur, the person who was dreaming of operating their own business and developing a business, whose approach is extremely different. Their approach is much more from a technical aspect, much more local in the beginning. Many of them work, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week. Essentially, they buy themselves a job. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because in the beginning, for the first-time business owner, if they're involved in a business that they're unfamiliar with, that's a great way to learn the business. And then they develop from there. So there are different types of franchisees as well as different types of franchise companies and business models. So I'm convinced there's a good fit for everyone and anyone out there who wants to pursue the use of franchising as a development tool for themselves, either as a franchisee or a small business owner that wants to duplicate their business but doesn't want to open up a bunch of company stores. They want to use franchising as a tool. There are plenty of opportunities out there.
It sounds like Desert Moon will go in either direction in getting a new franchisee, either that already existing business owner experience or the first-time owner, right?
Absolutely. We obviously are cautious about who we bring in as franchisees. If you look at what I refer to as the three-legged stool of a successful franchise operation, the three legs are the concept, the operator and the location. The first piece, the concept, I'm confident regarding Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill because we're a 16, 17-year-old company with a long operating history of success.
Right.
Location is something that is always up for grabs with potential franchisees because it's elusive in the sense that you need to understand what makes your operation work. So locations look different to different types of operation. But the other piece, the operator, who is the franchisee, that's key. Even in a great location with a great concept, the wrong franchisee could fail. Because the franchisee is the pulse, is the heart of the business. The concept may be the brains. The location may be the legs, if you will, how it's...
That was Gary Occhigrasso. You can actually hear that whole interview once again by going to Franchise Interviews. And good news, I think we have Frank back. Hey, Frank, how you doing today?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Yeah, sorry. I think in the beginning we couldn't hear you and we got cut off. So I'm so glad you called back in, Frank. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's great to have you on the show today. It was funny, and I don't know if you heard the very beginning of the show, we were talking about Willie Smith. We saw a great article on Willie Smith, and we read that article in the beginning of the show today. And so we can see there's some exciting things going on at Juice It Up. So
he's a great guy. He's really, really passionate about the business, and I think that's it's a big difference in successful operators.
Yeah, I was very impressed, too. You know, last week, I don't know if you heard last week's show, Frank, we had a revelation that there's a gentleman out there. He started a group for athletes, or professional athletes, that, because a lot of times their career is so short, that there's like a link or relationship between professional athletes and franchising. You know, because they know how to execute. But, you know, I've noticed, and I've been following this a very long time, a relationship between military and franchising. And I saw, you know, I guess I should start off congratulating you guys. I saw you guys were voted in the top 25 franchises or popular franchises with veterans. I think that's fantastic.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Marty, is that the professional soldiers are a lot like professional athletes, and that is that they listen. You know, they learn.
Exactly.
They learn that there's somebody else that knows something that's a little bit more than what they know. And in fact, it's amazing the number of franchisees that come to us and say, "We're here because we want to learn how to do it right." And the folks that listen are 90%+ of the time successful. Unfortunately, there's some people who don't really want to utilize the talent that's available to them.
Mm-hmm. True. That's true. We'd like to start off our show, Frank, asking, where are you calling from this morning?
I'm in Irvine, California, at our corporate
office.
Okay,
good.
Mm-hmm.
How's the weather there? Is it hot? I mean, it's still early there.
It's not like Texas or Oklahoma, fortunately.
It's not. Okay, well, that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what were you doing, Frank, before coming to Juice It Up? A little bit about your background. I know you have a great resume.
I was with large corporations for over 25 years of my career, including Mars, manufacturers of M&Ms,
mm-hmm.
Pedigree Pet Foods, Rice, and then Nestle for a number of years. Following that, I actually decided I wanted to do something different on my own, and created a medical device used in heart bypass surgery. And the corporation was founded in 1989, and I owned and operated that until 1997, actually, and sold it and pretty much retired at that point in time. Bored in retirement, I invested in Juice It Up just as an investor and then became more actively involved in 2001.
That's fantastic. Great background, great interesting story. What about the history of Juice It Up, Frank? You can go a little bit into that. I know, you know, they've been doing this a while.
We have. Founded in 1995 by some young Cal State University Fullerton graduates who felt that this was a real opportunity. They saw the healthy lifestyle, jumped in, started the system. It grew quickly in 1998 to about 30 stores. Then I invested, and we got it up to about 35 stores, and I saw that this was a real opportunity, and I bought out the founders, and we've grown it since then. Our focus initially was just on smoothies because that was a hot category.
Right.
We've recently expanded, and we're really pushing now on more of a lifestyle product, just simply juices. And the juice category has grown dramatically. It's well over $2 billion, depending on how you count it. But as everybody knows, smoothies are showing up everywhere. They're McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Burger King, everybody's selling smoothies. So to be successful, you have to have a better product, and you have to know how to make it to make it well, make it right.
Yeah, we were reading it in the with Willie Smith. We found it interesting how I guess, you know, some of their big clientele was, of course, younger audience, particularly schools, you know, and I thought that was very interesting, and how they were giving back also to the community. I think that's what Willie liked about your organization as well, you know, is how you give back to the community, you know. So I thought that was an important part of your franchise system.
Yeah, it absolutely is, because that develops customers at a young level, and the product is a healthy product, and healthier than many of the other options that young people are faced with today. So offering them smoothies that are better for them and getting them into that segment is really important. We give a lot of product to many organizations, swim teams, soccer teams. You know, we think that young people are really the future of our category, and I think franchisors need to look at that and push that out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you describe did you set up franchise system, Frank? Like, if you guys were at a franchise show and someone came up to your booth and they said, okay, well, what do you guys do, which is a common question at franchise shows, how do you describe the system to them?
Well, we support them from the development of their site all the way through the startup of their store, and then post startup with heavy marketing support. But beyond that, we have we do things that are not so obvious. Support with the reduction of the fees that they pay for merchant services, small things like that. I talk about giving back. I could easily be retired today, but I believe that this is just a fun activity for me, and I like nothing better than to see a franchisee come into our system and do well. Their success makes me feel good, and I think that's one of the differences with us, is that we really, really want our franchisees to do well.
Yeah, we said earlier, too, that I think this is a feel-good franchise as well, because you are, again, providing a good, healthy product to your customers. Again, you know, not to pick on McDonald's or Burger King or anyone like that, you know, but of course, you know, again, it's something healthy for you know, for anyone, you know, and a great way to get, you know, juice into you. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's amazing the number of people that juice every day. And I mean, really, and they're not kind of weird people. They're just plain, ordinary folks who enjoy all kinds of the juices. And they have their machines at home, and sometimes, you know, but they're constantly juicing. So,
exactly.
It's good for you. It's good for you.
What are some of the more popular, I guess you could say, flavors, or if you had to... I guess, Frank, I guess it depends on the area, too, or what part of the country you're in. But what are some of the popular flavors that people...
There's no doubt about the fact that the consumers like sweet. I mean, I learned
they
that
do.
Many, many years ago. Many
makes
years
sense.
Ago.
It's probably universal, right? No matter, you know, what part of the country you're in, or what part of the world you're in, you know.
But at the end of the day, taste is what sells. You can add sugar to things and it will sell. I mean, I won't name any names, but there are a lot of people who do that. We don't use the common sweeteners like high fructose corn syrup or things like that. We rely on the natural fructose in our juices. But their flavor, the flavor trends are pretty common. People love strawberries. Strawberry Wave is our number one seller all the time.
Yeah.
And it's a great product. But as far as fresh squeezed juices are concerned, Orange is always hands down winner. But beyond that, carrot juice is absolutely fantastic. People love that. My favorite drink is the carrot ginger splash, which is a combination of carrot, a little bit of orange juice, and ginger. And squeeze fresh in our juicing machines. And the convenience of being able to walk into one of our local neighborhood stores, get a fresh squeeze juice, and walk out without having to clean up the mess afterwards is amazing. But back to your question, I think that everybody has their favorite flavor. And,
of course, yeah.
That's the fun part of this business is it's like getting, I guess, if you will, a hamburger in 16 different, ways. So our flavors are terrific.
And as you said, taste is important. Particularly for people who aren't big vegetable people, I guess I'll admit, like myself, taste would be very important, in getting something like carrots into my system, So I think it's fantastic. This industry is pretty big. I think you mentioned, Frank, was it $2 billion or is it it's in that
it's over
range?
It's over two billion dollars and it's
amazing.
It's continuing to grow.
Growing.
Yep.
That's incredible. Well, how has technology played a role with this particular type of business, Frank? I guess if you went back to when Juice It Up first started back in 1995, probably less reliant on technology. So how are you guys using technology today?
Technology at the store level is virtually transparent. People don't see any change in what we do and how we do it. But the back room is what makes the difference. The ability to use the software on cash registers today that are computer driven allows us to get fresher product in just in time, and just in time is the way you want to do it, because then you know that you've got the best quality ingredients to the consumer. So it's a lot of back room technology that's helped improve our service. Secondly, this backroom technology helps our operators. We train them on how to control their cost of goods and their labor. Those are the two big elements that come into virtually any business. And if you have the technology to change that, you're apt to be more successful than otherwise. So
makes the job of the franchisee much easier, absolutely.
Yes, more predictable.
Absolutely. So what kind of characteristics do you guys look for in your franchisees, Frank?
Well, we're really not much different from everybody else, Marty. There's a lot of there's a lot of franchisors that look for folks that are passionate, that like the product, that want to work the business, not just invest in the business. Those are really key elements. Somebody that looks the lifestyle is apt to be more successful than somebody that doesn't look the lifestyle. People who have positive, I think one of the key characteristics is a positive, optimistic attitude and outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've heard of the trickle-down theory, whatever the owner thinks and however the owner acts behaviorally, trickles down through the staff, and customer service is so critical. It's always been a critical component of successful business, but even more so today when the competition for customers is greater than ever. So I think to sum it up, we look for people who are, and this I've heard this on your show many times, passionate and positive about themselves and their lifestyle.
Yeah, but absolutely, I would certainly agree with that. Is it does trickle down ultimately to the customer, of course, to the employee, and it gets passed on to the customer. So I would totally agree with that. I think that's very important. So once someone decides, Frank, to they say, okay, this sounds like a perfect match for what I'm looking to do. What's the training like for your new franchisees? How does that work?
We really have a continuous training program.
Which is important.
I believe in continuous improvement. So if you believe in something like that, if that's one of your values, then training really never stops. But training initially consists of 90 hours of both classroom, combination of classroom and hands-on training. Most of it with interacting with real customers in a real store, guided by our staff. But clearly, there's some state regulations, food handling regulations that we help our franchisees meet and train them on that. But we once we get them into the store and they're operating, we're there often to help them. We have a functionally organized staff as opposed to a generalized staff, whereby when they need help specifically on local store marketing, we have people that do that. If it's more training on the financial aspect of the business, we have people that do that. We monitor their P&L statements. We can see what right looks like, so we know that if their costs are getting out of control, we can help them.
Right.
It's kind of a hands-on type of organization with the focus on continuous training,
which is so important, absolutely. So when we were reading earlier about Willie, he was talking about the employees arrive early at the store, you know, and they get ready to make, I guess, the most popular flavors. So is there a typical day for a franchisee, Frank?
A typical day is...
That's a tough question.
That's a good question. The fun days are the weekends. Every day is pretty much the same. But when you get close to the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's really blowing and going. I mean, the operators know that they have to have their stocks up and their staffing ready and to go, because for whatever reason, it becomes our product is one that people enjoy more on the weekend when they have time. Certainly, we have morning customers that come in a typical day. And then there's a lull before lunch, heavy lunch crowds, and then some evening traffic, depending on the location. So it's an interesting business.
So the location, I guess, is with this type of franchise, Frank, is fairly important. What is a typical location? I mean, like, how much space does one typically need to get into a Juice It Up franchise?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting because we have the ability to squeeze the footprint down to about 800 feet. But in fact, we've actually operated in small kiosks, freestanding kiosks,
mm-hmm.
inside a shopping center with only about 300 square feet.
Wow.
Mind you, there's some backroom storage in order to support that.
But
a typical store would be an inline shopping center. And the size would be 1,000 to 1,200 square feet. And our better venues are inside major shopping malls, which is different than a strip center, and they do very well.
So. That's great. So you've been doing this a while now, Frank. I mean, you've been in business a while. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise, which is the majority of our listeners?
Get a good franchisor. I mean, and communicate and talk. Do your due diligence, but get somebody who's going to support you after the initial sale. If that's so important. We do things that, and I'm not just sort of commenting on us, but there are many franchisors
mm-hmm.
who do things for the franchisees, such as, and this has been important, as we've gone through this economic downturn. We were proactively contacting landlords on behalf of franchisees to reduce their rents. And, and a year after we started doing it, I heard that some of the other large franchisors were doing it. And I thought to myself, you know, they're about a year late, because in that 1 year time, franchisees were really hurting, losing money.
Right.
So I think you've got to make sure you've got a franchisor who really cares about your success.
Wow, that's great. I think that's so important. So what about your plans for the future, Frank? I mean, where do you guys see yourself maybe, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road?
Well, as I alluded to a few minutes ago, everybody's jumping into the smoothie category. And ourselves, Jamba Juice, other juice companies, smoothie companies have been impacted by a lot of other retailers getting into it. So I'm refocusing the company's business. We're in the process of reinventing ourselves, and I think that's important. I really believe that the juice itself, all the different blends of juice, are probably going to be a stronger lifestyle product, less apt to be impacted
mm-hmm.
by an economic downturn like we're still going through. Because when disposable income becomes tight, people will stop buying things that they see as treats. But if a product that they're consuming is a lifestyle product, they'll stay with it because it's important to them and the way they feel and their health. So we're focusing, in fact, rebuilding and redesigning our stores today to concentrate on that juice, that blended juice concept. I mean, we use ingredients that are common household ingredients in juice, like beets and cucumbers. We have dandelion greens, ginger, kale,
wow.
Mustard greens, parsley, peppers. I mean, the list goes on. And our blends are really, really good. So I think that our future is not just in growing stores, but it's
right.
Recognizing where the consumer demand is, what the consumers want, and satisfying that demand.
That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to you guys coming out to this part of Pennsylvania. I'm out towards eastern Pennsylvania, which is right on the Delaware River in the eastern part.
I know that area well. I lived in
Hackensack. You do? Okay. So, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to you guys coming out here because, you know, I understand you guys have a great product. So what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee, Frank? Are there any websites they can go to, any numbers they can call?
Yeah, they can contact us through our website, which is www.juiceitup.com, or call us directly at area code 949-475-0146.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Frank. I think you guys have a great franchise opportunity, and again, looking forward to meeting you one day and again, having you guys come out here, as I said earlier.
Thank you, Marty. I can't wait to
Thanks so much, Frank. Have a great day.
Bye now.
So that was fantastic. So what do we do? So we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
So I want to thank Frank Easterbrook again, CEO of the Juice It Up Franchise Opportunity. That was great. We have one more clip for you, and our great quote in franchising podcast, we were actually on it, Don and I. So you're going to get to hear us make the great quotes in franchising podcast when we were interviewed by Lynn Johnson on her business radio show. So here we go.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now over 4 years and over 200 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. The nice thing about hosting franchise interviews is we're frequently asked to be guests on radio shows and magazine interviews on the topics of entrepreneurship and franchising. And today you're going to get to hear an interview that we did 6 months ago on CBS Radio with Lynn Johnson on her motivational talk show. And, of course, the topic was entrepreneurship and franchising. And here's what we said. I think you guys will enjoy it.
Hey, did you ever think about buying a franchise? Do you think that now is the worst time to buy one? Or you're not sure whether anyone would loan you money to purchase a franchise? How does the whole thing work? Well, let's find out. We have an expert on the line, Marty McDermott.
Hi, Coach Lynn. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's always great to talk to you. I always feel like it's a World Talk reunion, right? We get together.
I know. We started out, guys, a very long time ago. I think we're some of the only people left, aren't we?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? But it's just, and it seems like yesterday that we started, Lynn. You know?
It really does.
It's just incredible. But it's the success that you've had is just wonderful to watch, though. I mean, it's just incredible.
Thank you so much. And yours has been pretty fantastic. You know, Marty, just over the break, when I announced that you were going to be here talking about franchises, I got a tweet from Alice and a lot of other people, but I selected Alice's tweet.
Oh, good.
Because she says that her family has owned the same bagel shop for over 35 years.
Wow.
But now they're going to have to close because the business has slowed and their debts are too high. She wonders if setting up her own franchises could save their business. So, Marty, I know you're an expert and you host that wonderful show called Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio.
That's right.
Are franchises for everyone?
Oh, great question, Lynn. It's a deep question and definitely not. In fact, you know what? If I can quote my friend Dr. John P. Hayes, franchising is not for everyone and it's probably not for most people. And when I say that, you know, the first time I heard that phrase, Lynn, I was a little confused because I said, if franchising isn't for everyone and it's not for most people, then who could it be for? You know, it's so. But for franchising is really for someone who knows how to follow rules, follow systems. They're not a true entrepreneur. When I say that, sometimes franchisees get upset because they say, "What are you talking about? I consider myself an entrepreneur." The entrepreneur is really the person that actually creates the franchise opportunity. And, you know, when you're talking about franchisors or entrepreneurs, they're really, and you know this, Lynn, they're very creative people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can look at something.
They could never follow rules, Marty.
Exactly. And they could just create something out of anything, you know. Franchisees, and it was funny because I was in Virginia, George Mason University,
mm-hmm.
on Friday talking about this topic. And one of the topics I was talking about was military being good candidates for franchises because they know how to follow a system, you know. So you really have to know how to follow a system, like to follow rules. And if you can't do that, then it's probably not for you. And so, yeah, it's always a word of caution before getting into franchising.
Now, I know that you say that there are two key factors that should be present before you consider buying a franchise. What are those factors?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different things. I mean, one is, what do you want the franchise to do for you? And, you know, for example, like, I'll give you an example. I like Dunkin' Donuts. You know, I frequent Dunkin' Donuts probably, like, you know, several times a week. And as much as I like Dunkin' Donuts and the coffee and the donuts, I wouldn't be a good franchisee for that type of system, because when you buy into a Dunkin' Donuts, you're working some pretty hefty hours.
True.
You know? So one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, what's important to you? You know, you're really taking a deep assessment. And for me, you know, my family is most important to me. So if I wasn't, you know, with my family or my son, like if he has a baseball game one day or whatever it is, I'm going to get very frustrated, even if I'm making a lot of money. You know, so you want to ask yourself, what do you want this franchise to do for you? And you know, what kind of system is the best match for you? There's so many choices out there today, Lynn. I mean, there's like 80 different industries franchising.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people, when they just think of franchising, they just think of food. But it's actually up to about 80 different industries. There's accounting franchises. There's advertising franchises. There's shoe repair franchises. You name it. It seems like they have it, you know. So you really have to ask yourself, you know, what's the best match for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of research. And, you know, of course you come down to the financials,
yes.
too. And, you know, I mean, you know, McDonald's, as successful as it is, it's almost a home run every single time you have a McDonald's franchise. I can't afford one, you know. So the financial aspects are always a big factor as well. I think to go even deeper, I think you need family support. I think that's important as well, you know. I mean, if you're married, I think you have to have that support from your husband or your wife before you get into an opportunity as well, because you're taking them along for the ride with you.
I love that you said that, Marty.
Absolutely.
Do you know what you said? Yeah. You said you need the support from your husband, which would infer that a woman could easily go in and buy a franchise. I love that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's, you can see the influence my wife has on me, too, I guess. She's got me trained, Lynn, you know. You know, and she's a fan of your show, by the way, too, you know. So you can tell I listen, you know. But absolutely. But it's so true. And, you know, speaking of women, Lynn, I mean, they really do make fantastic entrepreneurs, you know. I mean, it's amazing. I think for the first time, you know, I teach for Kaplan University.
Yes.
And we have
in colleges for the first time. There's more women in college today than there are men.
And they're older as well.
And they're older, you know. So what does that say to you, you know, is there's a lot of exciting trends that are taking place here in the United States, so.
Now, I wanted to ask you about this because I know that they just announced that even Ritz Camera is going to be closing many, many, many of their stores. And I'm kind of heartbroken about that because I'm an amateur professional photographer.
Right.
But my question is, so how do you know if the franchise that you're interested in is even going to be around in the next 5 years?
Wow, it's a great question, you know, and nothing is ever 100% certain. I will say this, that not all franchises are created equal, and what you can do is, I mean, look at the company's track record for one, you know. One of the things that you can look at is their franchise disclosure documents, and look at the history of the company. Some companies that just started franchising, I mean, they haven't really been around very long, you know, so you're kind of taking a chance in a way, you know, and you can look at how many franchisees they have and things like that. I think there's certain franchises that are always going to be around. I think McDonald's will always be here. They have like 33,000 units. Subway has about 33,000 units. So those ones are pretty safe. It's almost a home run every single time. So there is always that element of risk involved, even when you are buying into a franchise system. You know, of course, you can look at things like the market and things like that and kind of make your own assessments. But
so, Marty, with all that you know, because I have 1 minute left, and I definitely want them to come and listen to you because I love your show on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks so much, Lynn.
And I want them to check out your work. It's very, very important. Are franchises still a viable option, even with this economic downturn?
Most definitely. I mean, I think, Lynn, and this is going to sound a little weird, is, you know, one of the interesting effects of the recession I see now is some of the best offers in franchising.
Interesting.
I mean, and I've been doing this 10 years now. I mean, I'll give you a couple quick examples. Some franchisers, what they're doing is they're reducing or dropping a franchise fee for their new franchisees. Now, that's pretty significant because a franchise fee usually goes for about $30,000, $40,000. So they're waiving that. In some cases, there's two-for-one deals where if you buy one franchise, they'll drop the franchise fee for the second one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, and that's the effect that I've noticed from the recession is really some incredible deals. Even the landlords right now, and I mean, you've noticed there's a lot of great locations available right now.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you want to get those locations because, I mean, a great location can really overcome bad marketing, you know, and there's going to be a lot of people kicking themselves. Next year, they're going to say, I should have got into that opportunity last year when they waived the franchise fee, when I could have got this killer location in this particular spot. And, you know, landlords are sometimes more willing to give a great lease to a franchise as opposed to, let's say, Tony Supps, who's just like a regular guy. You know?
So somewhere Tony's saying, hey!
Exactly. Tony's upset. But, you know, so they're really getting some incredible deals right now. I think that this is the most exciting time to get into franchising. But again, you know, to quote you, Lynn, you know, franchising isn't for everyone. It's not for most people. You do have to really do your homework. It's not guaranteed every single time. And, you know, not all franchises are really created equal. There are some that are better than others.
Well, Marty, it's a pleasure to hear your voice and talk to you again.
It's a pleasure to hear your
and
voice.
And where
too.
Can
you.
My...
You're great.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Thanks, Coach Lynn.
Where can my people hear you, do business with you, and all those wonderful things?
Absolutely. Go to franchiseinterviews.com. You can hear over, I think we're up to 160 shows, Lynn, recorded up to this point. Yeah, so it really, when I say that number, I mean, it just really, it tickles my spine because... I didn't think that there was going to be a market for this or we'd find, like, a listening base for it. But, I mean, every single month we have more listeners, just like you know. So I haven't quite achieved your success yet, but someday, you know.
Well, thank you so much, Marty. And go check him out. Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, my dear old friend from World Talk Radio.
Thanks so much, Lynn. I'll talk to you soon.
So thanks, everyone, for listening today. And again, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, go franchise.com. And we'll see you again next week for another great show. Thanks, everyone.